Okay, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes. Philip Shepherd? Mike Rodenbach? Mike's on the line. He's muted. Bilal Barim, Bayram?
Here.
Uta Decker?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Present.
Cheryl Chua? Tony Holmes?
Yeah.
Tony Harris? Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Present.
Norbert Klein? Carlos Souza?
Here.
Adrian Kinderis?
Yes, I'm here.
Tim Rees? Tom Keller is absent and sent apologies. Jordi Paraguia?
Hello.
Chuck Gomes?
Here.
Edmund Chung will be late. John Bing? Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes, I'm here.
And so that makes us 16 votes. And then we have Alan Greenberg from
here.
The ALAC. We have Liz Gaster, Patrick Jones, Craig Schwartz, Denise Michel, Dan Halloran, Rob Hogarth, and have I left off anybody?
Yeah, Olaf, I'm here.
Olaf, welcome, Olaf.
In all silence, yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, thank you. Good day to you all.
Get started here. Does anyone have a statement of interest to update at this time? Okay. If you do at any point, please send it to Glenn and to the list and then bring it up at our next meeting. In terms of the agenda, there's two changes that have been made since it first went out. One is item 5, which is the update on the IDN a working group. As Edmund is coming in late, I've moved that to the end of the agenda. And also there was the correction to item 10 regarding single character second level domain names that Tim caught on the list and it was changed. Other than that, does anyone else have any comments or proposed amendments or additions to the agenda? Any advance notice of any other business items that we'll want to cover? Okay, nope. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item 3, which is to approve, we have two sets of minutes to approve. First from 27 March 2008 and second from 17 April 2008. So I'd first like to do the 27 March 2008. Do I have a motion for approving those minutes? And I have a motion for approving those minutes.
Yes. It's Adrian here.
Okay, thank you. Adrian, any second to that?
I'll second it, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Any comments or discussion on those minutes? Okay, if not, I'll ask for a voice vote. All those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to accepting those minutes, please say nay. Do we have any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Those minutes have passed unanimously. The next set are the minutes of 17 April. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes?
This is Chuck, I will.
Thank you, Chuck. Will anyone second them?
I'll second it, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. Is there any discussion on those minutes?
This is Tim. I've joined the call. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Hearing no discussion on those minutes, I'd like to ask for a voice vote on the minutes of 17 April 2008. All those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed to the accepting? Oh, I said aye too, sorry. Anyone opposed to accepting those minutes, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, hearing none. All those minutes pass unanimously also. Thank you. Okay, the next item 4, is the update from Denise Michel on board activities. Are you ready with that, Denise?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
The board
had a meeting on April 30th. The initial notes from the meeting are already posted on the website for you to review. I'll run through them quickly, highlighting in particular the issues of special interest to the GNSO. I brought to the board's attention the GNSO action on absentee voting and domain name tasting. Those items have been posted for public comments, and background briefings have been delivered to the board. There was not a substantive discussion on those issues. The board was notified that the GNSO had acted upon these, and they were delivered to the board. The board was also briefly updated on the actions on independent reviews, and the GNSO improvement efforts actions have been undertaken by the GNSO. They also were alerted to the fact that the public comment period on the GNSO improvements report had been closed, and the receipt in particular of the proposal from the so-called users groups, that is the business IP, ISP constituencies and then CUC and at large, proposing a alternative structure for the council and constituencies. It was also noted that that there had been a request that the comment period be extended further to allow for additional comments on this proposal and GNSO improvements in general. The BGC chair, Roberto, indicated that that he was not in favor of extending it, and further the board discussed, in particular the chair asked if the board might be prepared to vote on GNSO improvements at the May meeting, or that if not then the Paris meeting. So the staff was asked to provide a summary of public comments received and any additional information. Board members will be reviewing that, and if there is a consensus that the board is ready to vote at their May meeting then on GNSO improvements, then that will occur. Otherwise, the vote will be taken at the Paris meeting. The board also received an update on the status of the staff's work on new GTLD implementation planning. As you know, the board spent several hours at their retreat last month on and the policy report. They came to an agreement on a number of issues in the policy report in terms of their support for it, and asked staff to provide more detailed information on a few of the elements, in particular the dispute resolution processes, and asked for more information from staff focusing on standards and the basis for standing and FOIA's objection relating to the dispute resolution process. Staff is working on those and will be providing those. Those are the key items for that relate to the GNSO. In addition to that, they reviewed the status of all the independent reviews and briefly, and let me see. They also discussed meetings, approving the budget for the Paris meeting, receiving a report on meetings in general, and a proposal to move to a system where ICANN has two meetings a year instead of three, and one of those meetings would be at a hub. That was a report received by the board that will continue to be discussed by the board. They also agreed to hold the annual meeting this year in Cairo. Let me see. They approved the proposed amendment to the .pro registry agreement. They reviewed a report on foreign exchange issues, approved the redelegation of .kn, and they also approved the authorization of creation of DS key registry for DNS keys. Those were the items for April 30th.
Okay, thank you.
Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Take a few on questions. I have one that I wanted to just ask on the GNSO improvement. So that doesn't, I guess it's a question, and for the changes and such that have been recommended by commenters, those don't have to go back to the governance committee. Those will be handled directly by the board.
I'm sorry. So what do you mean handled by?
There were various comments that were made. The report is not going back for board governance committee review. It's staying at the board, and the board will be reviewing the original report plus the suggested changes.
Right. The process they're going through now is receiving public comments on the GNSO improvements report in advance of the board vote. So the comments that have been received will be summarized by staff. They'll be provided with any further background information or details that they require to consider the improvements report. And then if board members are ready to vote at the meeting, then they'll vote.
I see.
Otherwise, it would be paid.
This is Tim. I have a question.
Okay, Tim. Anyone else? Sorry.
Aubrey, please add me to the queue.
Okay.
And Tony, please.
Tim, Chuck, Tony. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
Hasn't the comment period closed, or is there an additional comment period? And then the other question is that one of the proposals was for a fairly significant change to the DGC recommendations, and I guess I'm just curious as to whether those are just going to be considered and possibly acted on without any further discussion with stakeholders, or if they were interested in acting on those, that there would be a further opportunity for those to be discussed with the wider community, specifically the business constituency's proposal.
Yes, so the comment period on GNSO improvements originally was due to end on March 25th and was extended to April 25th, and the comment period is now closed. Staff will be summarizing all the comments received and providing a summary and analysis to the board along with background information on the report. The board did discuss the suggestion, a request that the comment period be extended beyond April 25 and decided not to extend the comment period. So the board members will be considering all of the comments received in addition, including the alternate proposal received from the constituencies and the at-large. And that's where the board stands. There is no further plans for additional comment periods or public discussion prior to the board vote.
Thanks. Chuck?
Yes. Thanks, Aubrey. First, let me note that Philip and Edmund have joined the call. Welcome, guys. I think, Denise, you've answered my first question. I was going to ask whether the summary of the public comments has been submitted to the board, but from your answer to Tim, it sounds like they have not yet been delivered to the board. If I'm wrong on that, correct me. And then the second question is with regard to new GTLD's update that was given to the board. Was anything presented to the board beyond what was presented to us in Los Angeles? And if so, will that information be provided to us?
Is Kurt on the call?
I do not see him.
So the information provided to the council was also provided to the board. Additional, more detailed information and discussion occurred, particularly around dispute resolution processes and potential providers. And I'll Kurt and his and I and the new GTLD team will follow up in providing more additional information to the council and to the public on this.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Tony?
Thank you. My comment is also back on the changes for the GNSO. And having read the minutes of the board meeting and that were circulated and also listened to the report of that, am I right in trying to assess whether a decision will be taken or not, that failing any major concerns that the board have from the public comment period, we would expect a decision to be made in May? Is that a fair assumption or not?
Well, I think it would be correct to say that that the chair that the chair and the BGC chair both discussed the possibility of voting on GNSO improvements at the May meeting, and the chair indicated that if board members were ready to vote, then they would take a vote in May. But I certainly wouldn't call it a foregone conclusion.
Okay, so the jury's still out is the real response.
I would expect that the chair would seek an indication from board members if they were ready to vote in May, and if they were, then it indicated that that a vote could be taken. Otherwise, then Paris would be the action point on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Can I ask one question?
Avery, it's Adrian.
Okay, I'll put you in. I could check this on the website. When is the board's May meeting?
It's at the end of May.
Okay, thanks.
I want to say the 29th, but I can...
29th.
Okay, thank you. Adrian, anyone else want to be on the queue on this?
Philip, also, please.
Philip, anyone else?
Mike, please.
Mike, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Adrian.
Just a quick question. For the information that was supplied to the board with respect to new TLDs, similar to what was provided the GNSO of the LA meeting, there was a number of topics that reports were coming in Kurt's words, serendipitously, at the same time. I think that's what he said. Were those reports presented to the board, and if they were, I'm just trying to think, there was a number of them. One of them was a registrar report done by a third party on the impact of registries and registrars coming together. Chuck may be able to speak to that a bit better, exactly what that report was. I could go back through the minutes. But was there any update on those reports of whether they came in, and will they be being made available to the council? Would you like me to be more specific as to which reports they were? I could do go away and find out.
If I can jump in, this is Chuck. I think Adrian's referring to the consultant that was hired to look at some competition issues, economic study with regard to registry, registrar, cross-ownership, and those kind of issues.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Chuck.
Morning, Tony Harris, Jenny.
Thank you.
Hello?
Denise, did you have any information on that, or do we need to wait?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Denise. I'm sorry, I got disconnected.
Oh, okay. Adrian had asked a specific question.
Yes.
On... did you hear the question?
Yeah, the report regarding...
Guards
and Registries was not provided, was not discussed at the regular retreat.
So it was neither provided nor discussed. Okay, thanks.
Actually, I think the question was, will it be provided to the council as well?
I guess, yeah, that was a follow-up question to it, yeah.
I'll check with Kurt, and we'll follow up on email on that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sure.
Thanks. Denise, back to GNSO restructuring. I understand that the board wants to take their decision on this latest Paris, and that is, I think, precisely the same position that we're in. And I certainly understand they don't want to hear any new proposals between now, with the input they have received to date, and Paris. But I presume they're still very open to hear community views on the proposals that they have received. Is that correct?
I'm sure board members always welcome input from constituency members, although the formal public comment period has been closed.
Sure. Okay.
And the board decided specifically not to extend the formal public comment.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mike?
I guess just following on that, is there any motion currently before the board for their May meeting, or is that in the drafting stages? Will be made public before their meeting?
So the executive committee of the board meets 2 to 4 weeks before the board meeting itself and sets the agenda based on pending issues, input from board members, and it's around that time that the chair will, seek input from board members as to whether they're prepared to move to a vote on GNSO improvements at that meeting. And if so, it will be placed on the agenda for a vote. And that's how they decide whether or not to vote on it at their meeting. And if it's not voted upon at the May meeting, then it will be voted on at the Paris meeting in June.
Okay, thank you. Were there any other questions for Denise at this point? Okay, thank you very much, Denise.
Sure.
Okay, moving on to item 6 now. Item 6 is the front-running discussion. At the last meeting, we had talked about it somewhat, and there was basically a couple of opinions that whether we needed to request an issues report for right away or whether we needed to initiate some work and ask the staff to do some research before of a more specific nature before actually getting to the issues report. And we hadn't quite resolved that. I had suggested that we try to do a discussion on the list on it and see where we got to. That did not get too far. So one of the things that came up in discussions was perhaps this is one of those issues, and we don't have a motion on the floor for either the issues report or the research work. And so I guess the question I would like to ask is, this is one of those times when we should initiate one of those brief drafting teams to work with the staff to define a pre-issues research effort. Now, perhaps this could end up being specific questions for an issues report or specific questions for a pre-issues research effort, and that would be really something that would, a recommendation that would come out of the team. And if so, then what sort of expertise or whatever would be required, both in the research effort and moving on, what questions need to be asked, those were the things that team could basically come up with and bring to the council as opposed to us continuing a discussion unless we come close to having a resolution of we need an issues report, no, we need research before that, no, we need an issues report. So I'd like to open up the discussion and see what people think about having a couple of people that are the very concerned go off and basically draft something for the council to consider with regard to this. Would
this
anyone
like... I'd like in the queue.
Okay. Okay, who was first? Sorry, I was talking and I didn't hear.
Tim.
Tim, okay, thanks.
And Chuck.
Anyone else?
Mike, please.
And Mike. Anyone else? Okay, Tim, go ahead.
I'm assuming that I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that this was in response to the request from the ALAC.
Yes, the request from the ALAC, okay. and the board basically sort of saying, you know, think about it some more, you know, and you know, keep it. I mean, we basically need to keep it on the table. We need to do something.
That was my question, because when I look at the, I don't have it right in front of me now, but from what I recall from reviewing the LX document on that, it seemed that most of the primary concerns, like, you know, what Network Solutions was doing, and they mentioned register.com, and some of those kinds of things that actually will likely go away with the implementation of the tasting, or of the changes to the AGP to deal with tasting. So I'm wondering if the ALAC has commented on that, or has a comment on that, that maybe, you know, they don't have the same concerns now that that's been approved and due to be implemented. You know, because this whole definition of what's front running, and then we've talked about cart hold, and we just need to kind of focus in on what the real issues are. Some of the things we talked about will actually be resolved more or less with the implementation of the changes to the AGP.
I invite Alan to jump in with an answer, but I do want to say that looking at those kinds of issues was also part of what this you know, drafting team, which hopefully would have some ALAC participation, could go into, you know, if we can't resolve it quickly in council. Alan, did you want to give a quick response to Tim?
Yeah, my answer is somewhat similar to that. The views in ALAC are not unified. There are those who are either cynical or pragmatic, who do not believe that the 10% limit will in fact eliminate all of these opportunities, and therefore would like to see something specifically focused on it. Other people believe that the 10% is going to be close enough that effectively registrars won't be squandering the 10% on those kind of actions, at least not on a selective way. So yes, I think asking those questions, and Gene is so determining in its own right, does it believe the problem is still going to exist when this is implemented, assuming the board adopts it, of course, is always the option it won't, is something that is still in our hands. That may go be implied going back to ALAC or asking for ALAC participation, but I think it's still in our hands, and I think you phrased it reasonably well.
Okay, thanks. Chuck, I had you in the queue next.
Thanks, Avery. It seems to me that there are two related questions that need to be answered, whatever approach we take here. Number one is, how prevalent is the problem currently? My understanding that at least one of the two registrars that have been mentioned in this regard was changing its practices. So we need to make sure that this is still a live issue. But assuming that it is it something that there is anything within the RAA that could be used to manage this issue without going into a policy development process?
Okay, thank you. Mike, go ahead, your name.
Hey, I'm just a little concerned that we just continue to find alternative processes outside of, you know, what we have to work with that just invariably end up with more delay. And we have a report from SDAC on front running, and I don't still see any reason why we can't create a list of questions for staff to come up with an issues report. I don't understand why we need to form a team that needs to meet for weeks to do that. It seems like something that we could do via a motion for an issues report.
Okay, well, part of my reason, since I'm suggesting the team, part of my reason is that within the council at the moment, we don't seem to have anything even close to a rough consensus on whether we need an issues report or a research or what exactly the questions are. Now, we're starting to gather some of them, but you're right. I mean, a team could meet quite quickly and could set down the list of issues and could discuss whether this was pre-research, pre-issues, or issues. Now, you know, if there's already measures to take care of it in the RAA, then understanding what those are and understanding whether they're sufficient before suggesting a PDP might be reasonable. So that was the reason for doing it that way. At the very least, this team would come up with the set of issues that would need to be explored in either an issues report or a pre-issues research report. And I think that in terms of the ESSAC report, it wasn't clear that they knew that there was a GNSO policy action to be taken, though they did ask us to review that. And so I guess these are ways of reviewing whether there really is something for us to take on. And that's
this is kind of like
it.
Academic use.
I mean, the only way I would respond to that, Aubrey, if I may. You know, we don't... It would always be nice to have rough consensus for things. But, you know, to start off issues reports, it just seems kind of like a pie-in-the-sky goal over and over again. So I appreciate what you're trying to do, but it just seems that we talk and talk and try to reach that when, you know, our bylaws, for good reasons, don't require that to launch issues reports.
I understand that. And if I had a motion on the table for an issues report, I would have had to put it to a vote, but I don't. So as we don't have one of those yet, I'm trying to find a way to come into this in a consensus-oriented manner. Who is trying to speak?
Tim.
Okay.
And, Liz would like to be in the queue, too.
Liz? Anyone else? Okay, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I understand your concerns. I guess what... reason why I would tend to agree with Aubrey if we're going to move forward is that some of the labels even just really aren't clear. Like when it comes to frontrunning, you know, at the meeting in India, the SAC seemed to imply that they really didn't believe it was a problem, or that they really couldn't find any actual examples of the problem, so they questioned whether it was really even happening. But that doesn't mean that it was pretty clear that this cardhold activity was going on. And is that really what we're talking about when we say front running? And so I think if we're going to go forward with requesting an issues report, we do need to spend some time in some way of just saying what is it we're requesting the issues report on, and not use a label that everybody might not be in complete agreement with what it means or understanding of what it means, just so that we're all clear about what we're requesting the issues report on. So that would be my concern. If we just move ahead with an issues report on front running, then we may not get what we want back out of it.
It's not.
So I'm not saying we should delay. That's not my reasoning for it. It's just so that we can come to agreement on exactly what we're asking for.
Okay, thank you. I had Liz, and then I had someone else.
Alan.
And Alan, okay.
And so, thanks, Aubrey. From a staff perspective, I want to kind of echo Tim's point, but from the staff perspective, that it's very important for us in endeavoring to draft an issues report that's on point, that we be given direction in advance on not just the subject that the report should cover, but what the issue specifically, the policy issue is, that we should be exploring. And in the case of front running, for the reasons Tim cited and the breadth of how it was sort of defined and discussed in the context of the ALAC letter, that would be extremely important for us to ensure that what the issues report, that the quote subject of the issues report is more than just a broad subject, but on the specific policy issues that we should be exploring.
Okay, thank you. Alan.
Yeah, from an ALAC position, we of course want to see things move ahead quickly. From the GNSO position, I think it's really important that we do identify, as Tim and Liz just said, that we know whether our target is all registration of names which happen to be typed in sometime ahead of time, or is it the surreptitious ones, or does it include cardhold type activities which are moderately open and pre-announced. And I think those are the issues that we need to decide what the scope is, so that the issues report does come back and answer what we're looking for. And that's a matter of interpretation of the ALAC and other comments that have been made recently. But I think that needs to be done so that we phrase the request for issues report properly. It shouldn't take long.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak? I've started crafting a motion that I'd like to...
Actually, it's Christine.
Yes, Christine.
Chuck's question kind of got me thinking, and here's my question, and perhaps it's directed more at staff. Excuse me. But it would seem to me that if the issue, I'm using that term very broadly, is in fact encompassed by the RAA, then it would also seem to me that perhaps the compliance department has already looked at this question and made a determination. And if that's the case, then it would seem it would be helpful to us to know what that determination is ahead of time so that we know, you know, is this problem taken care of through the RAA? Is that the determination of the compliance department? Is it not? And, you know, regardless of what the answer is, what the reasoning is. And I'm just curious as to whether that's been done.
Do we have a...
This is Denise. I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, Denise. If it's a response to that, please go ahead.
Yes. So, Christina, we'll have the compliance department specifically respond to this, too.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
It's Alan, or perhaps if there is a group participating also.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I'd like to suggest a motion, and I'm only suggesting it. I'll look for someone else to make and second it. And I already I scripted it out while we were talking and put it in the on the wiki page, but it basically is a motion, create a drafting team to look at questions such as how is the problem defined, how prevalent is the problem, will the measures relating to domain tasting affect front-running, are there rules within the RAA that can be used? The goal is to bring a recommendation to the council on whether to request an issues report or a more extensive research report. And to define
the terms of the request.
The terms.
Aubrey, you say this is up on the workspace?
Yes. It's inside the agenda.
Inside the agenda, okay.
Okay, and to define the terms of the report.
Can we add a date to that, Avery, please?
Certainly. Create a drafting team to look at. Okay. Do you want to suggest one? This team.
What is the shortest we can make it, I think, is the question.
I think we can make it so that it's ready. We have 3 weeks until our next meeting, and then our meeting after that is face-to-face in Paris. So I would say that the quickest I would expect the team to be able to do a reasonable effort would be something that we could discuss in a face-to-face meeting in Paris. We would ask for their report to be ready 2 weeks before that. So I guess that's like the end of the first week of June or something like that.
And then we'd look to act on this at the Paris meeting.
Then we would look to, we would discuss it in the face-to-face, and then we could act on it in the public. You know, do one of those cycles where, you know, we've determined, you know, hopefully that team would come out with a motion that we would consider and amend. If necessary, we would discuss it on Saturday, and then on Wednesday we would have open discussion on it, and all things being equal, take a vote on it. Obviously, it's quite possible that in the deliberation, you know, I don't want to predict what would happen, but that would be the initiating plan. Bring us a report in time for deliberation so that I don't mess around with date and deliberations.
Avery, Dallin?
Yeah.
Yeah, without being overly optimistic, I would give the group the latitude of coming back for the next meeting, at least for a discussion, even if it doesn't have something a full week before.
Okay, we could certainly ask them to report at the next meeting. We can't, I mean, we can discuss, we can't vote on something without having a motion on the table for a week. So to ask them to get something done in 2 weeks seems optimistic.
Granted, but on the other hand, we can give, if the result is a request for issues report, that will give staff heads up as to what's coming.
Certainly. So, okay, I'll just save what I just wrote, and then I can change it more as people look at it. It has been saved. I've gone back into edit. Okay, so I've added to that motion, create a drafting team to look at questions such as, have the four questions. The goal is to bring a recommendation to the council on whether to request an issues report or more extensive research effort and to define the terms of the report. This team should bring its report in time for deliberation in Paris on 21 June. That doesn't mean that it can't come sooner if they're ready.
As if they were sooner.
Okay.
Might be a little optimistic, but I think it just seems to me like it's...
Or sooner, if possible. Okay. Any other changes people would like to make to that before I ask for a... Well, actually, do I have anyone that's willing to move this?
Well, Avery, just a comment. I would prefer to set a date before Paris to at least give us some time to look at this before we actually...
Okay, yeah. I had set a time for deliberations in Paris on 21 June, so I could make it specific and subtract 14 from that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just not doing that. Okay, so by 7 June. 2008, let me be precise. So no one asked me what year. Okay, so now it says this team should bring its report in time for deliberations in Paris by June 2008 or sooner if possible. Is that okay with people? A little awkward in the phrasing, but I think it says what we wanted it to say. Will anyone make that motion?
Avery, it's Christina. I'm on the wiki and I can't find it. And I need to actually...
Okay, it's in the agenda.
Oh, okay.
It's basically, I did it in line in the agenda. What I've been trying to do lately is I take the agenda and then at the end of the meeting I've got little annotations in it that I save. It's not quite minutes.
Got it. All right.
Okay, and I just saved it again with it in its final state. Hopefully final state. Is anyone willing to make that motion? I don't have anyone doing it.
Chuck, I'll make the motion.
Okay, Chuck, does anyone second it? I'd like a second, please.
Sorry, was that you, Avery, seconding?
No, I haven't been seconding since I was typing the motion. I didn't actually make it our second. I'd really like to see if there's someone else that's willing to second it.
Like
I wouldn't be adverse to seconding it. I just still can't find it.
Excuse me?
I still can't find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can other people find it in the agenda? It's under item 6.
I found it.
Okay.
Yes, it's there. Christina, are you in the workspace?
Yeah.
Agenda? Did you refresh?
Just click. Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Okay. Now I see it. All right.
Okay. So do you second it, Christina?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any further discussion on this at this point? Is there any objection to taking an ayes and nays vote on this? Okay, in which case I'd like to ask all those in favor of creating this drafting team as written, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to this, please say nay. Any abstentions from this? Okay, thank you. It's been passed. So, Liz, I assume that you'll be the staff coordinating person on this?
Yeah. It may ultimately be someone else, but I'll be...
Okay,
for now, just put me down. Yeah.
I'll create the mailing list as
you bet.
Normal.
You bet.
And so constituency members, council members, et cetera. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the fast flux motions. Now, we have, and I'll open the floor in a second, but basically we have a motion that was originally made by Mike had a friendly amendment friendly amendment proposed by Philip that was accepted by Mike. I've never recorded a seconder for this, and while I could have almost assumed Philip as a seconder, I didn't because he had never said those words. So it's not seconded yet. So we have two motions on the floor. One of them is to start a PDP based on the issues report that was received, and then one of them, contingent on success of the first motion, was to create a task force according to the bylaws on to do that PDP. The first one required a 33% vote. Second one requires a 50% vote. Now, Chuck added a second contingent motion. Now, if I understand correctly, Chuck's contingent motion, having come after the motion for Fast Flux PDP, would be contingent on that motion not succeeding, and is basically a motion. I'll let him talk to it in a second. Would basically propose a further work, and draw, you know, basically a further studies on it. So I guess first, Mike, did you want to speak about your motion at all anymore, and is there a seconder for it? And then I'd like to ask Chuck to also talk about his, and then I'll open up the queue for whoever needs to speak, who wants to speak.
Avery, it's Tony. I'll second Mike's motion.
Okay, thanks.
So, I mean, essentially, I'd just like to hear from Chuck as to why we think that some sort of alternate process is necessary here. Why should we not, as Tim has said, why should we not start the clock ticking on this issue, which is obviously an issue of significant urgency?
Okay. Chuck, I was going to go to you next. Chuck.
Sure. My first response to the clock ticking is that's one of the reasons why you need to make sure you have everything in order before you start the clock ticking. And I don't think that that's the case. My alternate motion, and I put maybe even too tight a time constraints just to avoid the impression of delay, is basically to get some experts on this particular issue. I don't consider myself to be an expert. I don't know how many of us on the council there are as experts, but to make sure that we've got all our facts in order before we start the clock ticking. So that, and again, back to Liz's comment, that it's very important. Now, if Liz thinks or other staff members think that they've got clear enough definition of where we're going to not need the expert advice, then maybe there's a, you know, maybe we should take that into consideration. But it's my opinion and the opinion of the registry constituency that it would be better to make sure that some of the fundamental questions are answered before we start that clock ticking. My alternative motion is out there, and like Aubrey said, it's irrelevant if we decide if we pass the first motion, the first amended motion, so we can ignore it if, in fact, it's decided to initiate a PDP. But if we do not initiate a PDP, then it would come into play.
This is Aubrey. I'm going to take a few in a second. I wanted to just point out two things. One is, and just to make sure that we're all clear, that one difference between this one and the previous topic is we already do have an issues report. And two, if, and this deals with the second motion, if we do a PDP, a PDP does allow for the inclusion of experts in the task force. So it makes it slightly different. Then I just want to make sure that it wasn't being seen as too parallel to our previous discussion, that there were those two differences. Would anyone like to be in the queue before we move to proceeding through the two votes?
It's Liz, I would.
Liz?
This is Tim. I would.
Tim. Anyone else?
Alan.
Anyone else? Okay. As I said before, I should go. Just to finish that, we will be voting on at least two motions. The first one, which is the issues report. I mean, not the issues report, but to start a PDP, and then either motion two on how to do it, or motion three on what to do instead. Okay, Liz.
Just to respond to Chuck's question about staff's view, we did already state in the issues report that we thought that more research and definition was required. That's it.
Was required for what?
To explore this issue and define it as a next step. That's what staff recommended in the issues report, that more research and definition was needed. And we asked, suggested certain questions that be looked at further. You know, once again, the concern here is that this is a broad subject, and you know, there was some note in the report about some issues being potentially in scope, some issues potentially being outside of scope. You have things related to fast flux that we would have no control over. Or opportunity to influence in this context, but there are other steps that might be taken potentially to impose obligations on registrars and registries to mitigate that might be within scope, and those, you know, those need to be looked at further, the scope issue as far as what could be done by the GNSO Council or recommended, and secondly, the breadth of the topic in general, and making sure that we focus on things that we can have an impact on.
Okay, thank you.
Respond to that?
Excuse me, Mike, you wanted to respond to that, or would you like to get in the queue and just respond to all the points that come up?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. So, Tim?
Yeah, I guess that Denise kind of, or I mean, Liz made the point I was going to make as well, and that is that, you know, we asked for an issues report. The staff provided it, and within it, they recommended the further definition and research that Liz spoke about. So it seems to me to be sort of, I guess I wouldn't say presumptuous, but maybe that's not the right word, but it would seem to be a mistake now to just throw that recommendation out, so to speak, and move ahead anyway. And even though, you know, Phillips' friendly amendment helps the situation, I still don't think it's clear as to what those issues are that are in scope. And so it seems to me to be premature to start a PDP. And if we do, in my mind, it's like starting a PDP that we know almost beyond doubt can't complete within the time frame that's specified for it. And I know we do that all the time, but I don't see why we can't take a little extra time to follow the recommendation in the issues report we asked for, as Chuck's motion suggests, before we start a PDP and to make it more focused and perhaps have, you know, more of a opportunity for success within a reasonable time frame.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
I guess Liz's comment forces me to ask for a clarification. Does the recommendation in the report, in the issues report, mean that if we don't do some study before starting the PDP, we are going against staff recommendations, that it, you know, essentially that it not be in scope and therefore needs a higher threshold to start the PDP? If Liz can answer that.
Yeah, I don't know if Liz or whether we need Dan. I did not read the issues report as saying it was out of scope. It was just saying that there were more questions, so I didn't read it as having the higher threshold.
That's right. That's right,
Aubrey. We had a discussion on that earlier on the list, and I got agreement that was a correct reading. But please, someone from staff, follow up.
Okay. My original point was going to be that ultimately, yes, we need to know what is within scope and what is not within scope. Some of the possible ways to address fast flux are clearly not within scope, and no group in its right mind is going to try to recommend a consensus policy for something where the concept doesn't apply.
I don't really see, although it's clear there's going to have to be some definition and statement of scope at the beginning of the PDP process. I don't see why it cannot be part of that process. You know, as I said, some of the not within scopes are quite blatantly obvious. Other ones might be subject to question, and perhaps you could take a within scope way of addressing the problem, or perhaps there are contractual ways of addressing it. But I don't see that as the reason not to start it.
Thank you.
Now, maybe I'm just not familiar enough with how PDPs can work, but it sounds like something within reason.
Thank you. Mike, a bunch of things to respond to. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks. Thanks, Alan. You said sort of what I want to say is, in this motion, we list the specific issues that are quoted practically verbatim from the staff report for initial research by the task force. I don't see why the task force can't consider them, why we need to form sort of a different type of task force to come in and consider them first, which is essentially what Chuck's motion requests. So I don't see how any of these questions or how this issue in general, at least some potential remedies to this issue, are not within scope. I think it's very clear that there are some. So we should move forward to consider them. And as for the timing of the PDP, as Tim said, the GNSO has never followed the timing of the PDP, as far as I know, and probably won't this time either. But I don't see any reason why that should hold us back.
Yeah, I think in terms of timing, we do our best and we're just intentional. And part of it is learning how long it takes us so that as we go through this reorganization improvement process, we can actually understand how long it does take to do things. Unless there are more comments and hopefully, new comments,
now this is
I'd like to call for the vote really soon.
Comment.
Tim?
Philip also, perhaps, with just a global comment.
I've got Tim.
I just want to be clear, I'm not interested in trying to delay anything, and I don't think that this will delay anything. I think that the first step of this PDP is going to have to be exactly what Chuck is suggesting. And, we're sitting here saying, oh, well, we know we never meet the timelines of the PDP, and it's just the way we operate, and we're just going to deal with that. Seems a little, unfortunate to me when there's really no good reason that I've heard as to why the PDP has to be initiated in order for us to start down the road of resolving this and doing the research first and then starting the PDP with a better understanding of what the terms of reference, terms of work are going to be. This seems to make sense. And to say, oh, well, we're just going to start it anyway, and then, we know we're not going to meet the timelines, but so what? I don't understand the reasoning for that or what the push is to start a PDP when, we can get to the same result by doing the necessary research that's been recommended first.
Thank you. Philip?
Avery, could you put me in the loop, Alan?
Okay, I've got Philip and I've got Alan, and hopefully we're moving closer to where we can take the vote. But go ahead, Philip.
Thanks, Avery. Just a bit of a historical context, perhaps. Number one, the fact that the PDP details are in the bylaws is a mistake. For those of us who are involved in the drafting of that and in suggested timelines, it was never intended they would be set in stone in the way that they are. So they should not blind us, and we should not be concerned by the fact that we failed to list what was only ever an aspirational guideline. Number two, that issue has been recognized by two independent consultants. Number three, that issue has been recognized by Council itself in its own self-report. Number four, that issue has been recognized by the board. Nobody that I know of in ICANN thinks that PDP timelines as enshrined in the bylaws has any meaning at all. Lots of us have been spending huge amounts of time with a planning group trying to decide the best way to change all that. So I don't know why we're having a conversation about how bad it is that we don't miss the timelines. Nobody's criticizing us for not doing so. We've never done so. It was never intended we do so. So it's completely null argument. this, to my mind, is a question about us being serious about taking action in the way that we do things, which we say, somebody raises an issue, we have an issues report to decide if it means something, and we say, yes, it does, we kick off a PDP, and if we say, no, it doesn't, it's nothing to do with us, we go no further. So this is show the outside world for a change. We're serious about commitment, move forward, kick off our process, and don't concern ourselves with historical mistakes that nobody is criticizing us about.
Okay, Philip, thank you. I'd like to add one thing to that. The only one thing that I'd like to add is that we did kind of set a practice for ourselves that to try and be intentional about our times, and when we see we're not going to meet a schedule, not just let it float, but actually try and understand our schedules.
Sure.
And be deliberate.
Flag it in advance, yeah.
So I just wanted to get that one in. Okay, Alan?
Yeah, I'll support the previous comment and point out that we're debating which schedule to miss. We've already missed the 15-day...
No, I think we're actually debating which procedure to follow, whether research is being done as the first part of the PDP or whether research is being done in the before the PDP.
But we're also debating, and I don't believe we should, that we're debating whether we should miss the deadline and how long a PDP takes, or whether we've already missed and how much more we missed the deadline of initiating the PDP, which is supposed to be done within 2 weeks of the issues report coming out. So we're just debating which one to miss, and I think it's a useless use of our time. The merit of Chuck's resolution is it puts a deadline on the first investigative processes. If we truly believe that when we start a PDP, that process may go on for 5 months instead of the 1 month he specifies, that motion has some merit. If we have some faith in the PDP process and the group we put together, then I think kicking off the single thing has more merit, and it makes it, as I was just pointed out, makes it look like we're doing something instead of chartering yet another group to, in people's mind, defer the issue.
Okay, thank you. Can I call the motion now, or do I have someone else in the queue? Okay, thank you.
I'll just make one quick comment, if you don't mind, Aubrey. I mean, to sure. Alan, we do have a deadline, actually, in the motion as well, to deal with these factual issues within 90 days and report back.
Point taken.
Okay, thank you. Now, this one would need to be on a roll call. As I understand, and Glenn, please correct me, we had a 19 vote, or do we have more than that quorum at the beginning?
Adrian has fallen off the call, as far as I know. So we've got 20 votes.
We've got 20 votes. So 7 votes would meet the 33% threshold. Is that correct? As the first one is a 33%.
Yes.
So we need 7 votes on the first motion.
Point of order?
Yes, please.
And I don't know if this is the appropriate way to introduce this concern or not as a point of order, but I just want to reiterate my concern or doubt that a 33% vote is all that's required here. I don't think that that's necessarily clear, and there's been some decision made on that somewhere. I would appreciate knowing it, but I just want to make my concern, put my concern on the table.
Thank you. There was a discussion on it, and I do believe that, and I had basically said that I read the issues report as saying there was within scope content, and that therefore the staff is not declaring this as out of scope. And I believe I'd have to go back and find the specific place where I got the confirmation that that was a correct interpretation. Can anyone from the staff speak up to that? Dan, if you're still here. Liz?
Yeah, this is Liz. Some items may be in scope. That's what we said in the issue. There could be some items that were not in scope, but some items that are in scope.
But none of it has been identified one way or the other, correct?
Right.
Yeah, but excuse me, my amendment puts it all in scope.
Exactly. Your amendment is just as vague as the report as to what is in scope and what isn't.
Yeah, but it clarifies about procedure.
I agree with that, but.
But basically, I believe that we had enough confirmation that this can be done at the 33% threshold. So I'd like to call for a poll on this at the moment.
Sorry, Avery, just before we start, Norbert Plan has joined, so they ought not 21 votes.
21, so
a third is exactly 7.
That would push us to 8 votes.
I'm sorry, I came on in now. I couldn't come earlier.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. So having 21 votes, 33% is still 7 votes.
We need more.
What is the point of the agenda, please? Sorry.
We're in item number 7. We are just about to vote on initiating a PDP on Fast Flux.
Thank you.
And Norbert's aware that there's an alternative motion on the table by Chuck.
Right. There's basically, I'll just quickly go through. We've got 3 motions before us. The first motion is to initiate a PDP. The second motion is if the PDP is initiated, then to launch a task force to do that. And this task force motion specifically includes the questions that would be discussed within this PDP. The third motion, and so the second motion is voted on only if the first motion succeeds. The third motion is a motion that's voted on if the first motion doesn't succeed, which is to do further research and then come back to the question of a PDP. Okay? So I'd like to, so we've determined 21 votes in quorum. We need 7. It says 33%. It doesn't actually say more than 33%.
Aubrey, I think it does say more than 33%, but you're still correct. 7 would be sufficient because a third is 7, and that's a third is more than 33%.
Yay.
That's right. It's 33 bars. Thank you. Okay. So, Glenn, could you call a roll call on the first motion that was made by Mike, seconded by Tony, and was amended by Philip, where Fast Flux DNS changes are increasingly being used to commit crime and frustrate law enforcement efforts to combat crime with criminals rapidly modifying IP addresses and or name servers in efforts to evade detection and shutdown of their criminal website. Whereas the Security and Stability Advisory Committee has reported on this trend in its advisory SAC 025, dated January 2008. Whereas SAC Advisory describes the technical aspects of FastFlux hosting, explains how DNS is being exploited to abet criminal activity, discusses current and possible methods of mitigating this activity, and recommends that appropriate bodies consider policies that would make practical mitigation methods universally available to all registrants, ISPs, registrars, and registries. Whereas the GNSO resolved on March 6, 2008 to request an issues report from ICANN staff to consider the SAC advisory and outline potential next steps for GNSO policy development designed to mitigate the current ability for criminals to exploit the NSVFS Flux IP and or name server changes, whereas the ICANN staff has prepared an issues report dated March 25, 2008, recommending that the GNSO sponsor additional fact-finding and research to develop best practices guidelines concerning FastFlux hosting and to provide data to assist policy development and illuminate potential policy options, whereas ICANN should consider whether and how it might encourage registry operators and registrars to take steps that would help to reduce the damage done by cyber criminals by curtailing the effectiveness of these FastFlux hosting exploits, that GNSO Council resolves to initiate a policy development process uniquely on the issues deemed in scope in the issues report. Okay, so Glenn, could you call the roll on this?
Philip Shepard.
Yes.
Mark Rodenbach.
Yes.
Bilal.
Yes.
Uta Deka.
Yes.
Hina Rosette.
Yes.
Cyril Schuer isn't on the call. Tony Holmes.
Yes.
Tony Harris.
Yes.
Greg Ruth. Greg. I'll come back to Greg. Robin Grass?
No.
Norbert Klein?
Also no.
Carlos Souza?
No.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
Jody Iparaguirre? Jody? Chuck Gums?
No.
Edmund Chen?
No.
Jody?
Hello?
Yes. What do you vote?
Yeah, no.
Avery Doria?
Yeah.
Alge Cavelli?
No.
I had to come back to grab.
Did Adrian drop off?
Adrian dropped off, yes. And Greg, can we come back to Greg? I see his line is still open, don't you, Chuck?
Yes, Glenn, I do see his line still open.
But, oh no, he's dropped off.
Oh, yeah, you're correct.
Yes, he's dropped off.
That just shows.
Eight, yes. Twelve, no.
So it does have the 33% threshold required for a PDP, so we have a decision to initiate a PDP, which brings the second motion, which was contingent on the success of the first motion. And I'll read that out. Whereas Council has decided to launch a PDP on fast track posting, the GNSO Council resolves to form a task force of interested stakeholders and constituency representatives, collaborate broadly with knowledgeable individuals and organizations in order to develop potential policy options to curtail the criminal use of fast track posting. The task force initially shall consider the following questions. Who benefits from fast track and who is harmed? Who will benefit from cessation of the practice and who would be harmed? How are registry operators involved in fast track hosting activities? How are registrars involved in fast track hosting activities? How are registrants affected by fast track hosting? How are internet users affected by fast track hosting? What measures could be implemented by registries and registrars to mitigate the negative effects of fast track? What would be the impact, positive or negative, of establishing limitations, guidelines, or restrictions on registrants, registrars, and or registries with respect to practices that enable or facilitate fast track hosting? The task force shall report back to Council within 90 days with a report discussing these questions and the range of possible answers developed by the task force members. The task force report shall also outline potential next steps for council deliberation. That's the motion. This requires a 50% vote. Actually, it's 50 plus, I believe. So that would require a vote of 11. Now, one thing to point out about formal PDPs is, as this one says, stakeholders and constituency representatives. Normally in the past when we've had task forces, they have consisted of primarily constituency members, with the council having to take deliberate steps to invite on anyone who was not a constituency member, and that has included NOMCOM members of the council. Because as the bylaws were written, task forces are predominantly constituency. So the constituency member processes would be followed as per the bylaws, and assuming we go with the task force, we would then need to make specific decisions later about other members. Any discussion on this before I call a vote on it, since we did not specifically discuss this second motion?
Avery, Pat said it. Just for clarification, I think the in terms of having outsiders involved, it's they can happen in either process as part of experts in the task force or participants in the alternative. But we're now just in the standard part of the usual PDP process, where either we decide to have a
a collaborative approach with a task force, or we think it's a simple issue that doesn't require a collaborative approach, and we just solicit statements from constituencies and ask the staff to basically put those together and make a recommendation. So just to be clear, that's the intent of the bylaws and the position that we're in.
Right, and I understand. One of the things, though, that we've been doing lately is, in some sense, the more simple process has become the more complex process, in that the way the practice we've been following on non-task force was first to go to constituencies and public comment, then to come back for deliberative process that in one case, you know, might include a working group, another case has included the various teams working on proposals. So we've sort of opened up the one that was referred to as less deliberative, whereas the task force, and you're exactly right, has a specific membership indicated in the bylaws, and we need to be deliberate about inviting other people on once we've established a task force. And that was the only point I was making.
Aubrey, could I join the
queue? Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah, and Alan.
Alan. Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, first of all, unless I misunderstood you, Philip, I think in either approach, the task force or not, that it's not just a matter of getting constituency statements and then making a decision. In both cases, it allows for further work to be done to develop a policy position and try to reach rough consensus on that. And maybe I just misunderstood one thing that you said. The only reason I'm going to vote against the task force is just because the way the bylaws are written, not using a task force creates more direct flexibility in terms of open group membership and so forth. So it's a, you know, it just fits better. I am not opposing a task force because I think the council should do all the work. That is definitely not the case. I would, if we don't go with the task force, I would support forming a working group that's open, has very open membership to work on this issue. Granted, we can do that if we call everybody else that's not a member of a constituency an expert. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I just wanted to state my position.
Thank you. Alan?
I just wanted a clarification. When you said in the formal task force, only constituencies are involved, does that include liaison or not? You know, groups that are liaison to the council.
Yes, but I don't, I mean, they could certainly be invited to it, but I don't think they're automatically listed as members, so I'd have to go back to the bylaws to confirm you. Anyone else want to speak? I'll check the bylaws.
This is Tim. The top past practice has been yes on that, hasn't it?
Right, yeah, on past practice, the council has basically opened up the task force to those who want to participate,
yes.
And I would expect us to do the same this time. We just have to be deliberate. Basically, it's a little different than what we've been doing with the design teams and working groups. Is basically, if you want to participate, you send your name in to the keeper of the list, and you do. So, anyone else in the queue before I call for a vote on that? But
this is Dan. Could I be in the queue?
Excuse me.
This is Dan.
Dave. Dan.
Dan.
Dan. Yeah. So we don't.
And
have
Tim.
Dan, please go ahead.
And Tim.
Dan and Tim. Okay. Dan.
Okay, just a few points from the bylaws. In the PDP, Section 5 talks about composition and selection of task forces, and it says that each constituency gets to appoint one rep, and the council may appoint up to 3 outside advisors to sit on the task force. And I think the council has used that to put on liaisons or other advisors onto task forces before. But otherwise, I don't think liaisons would automatically have, like, I think the big issue that's come up is a voting role on the task force. And then a couple other points on section.
Yeah, it also says that we can increase the number of representatives per constituency if we wish.
Correct. So, and then just from a staff point of view, a couple questions. Section 6 of the PDP calls for a public comment period after starting a PDP, and I couldn't tell from the motion if you intended to sort of dispense with that or delay that, or if we're supposed to also kick off that public comment period. And also on the constituency statements, I couldn't tell from the motion if you intend to put off asking for constituency statements or if that should go ahead right now as it's laid out in the bylaws under 7 or 8, whether you're in task force or not. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I would actually think that, and this would just be my assumption, that we're following the bylaws timelines unless the task force comes with a recommendation that those be changed. In other words, since the motion does, the only time limit it has is the 90 days for the reporting back, which would allow those things to happen. My assumption has been that we're following the bylaws unless there's a request from the task force, assuming it's constituted, once it's constituted, to delay. And please, those of you that have made the motion about the task force, correct me if my assumption is wrong.
Would you like me to respond to that or get into
Well, why don't you respond to that?
I do think the motion at least implicitly suggests that we would not do public comment or constituency impact statements until we answer the questions that were posed by staff that are included in this motion.
Okay, then we either need to put that in the motion now, or, as I say, the task force, if formed, can come with that as a proposal to the council later.
I think that's better, of course.
Hey, Tim.
Sorry. I was going to say, after just giving some thought to what Chuck had said and the bylaws, I guess I tend to agree with Chuck about the use of the alternate PDP method instead of the task forces. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to call for the vote. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this before I do? Okay, thank you. So this would also be a roll call vote. I've read it, and reading something with fast flux in it that often is very difficult. So we still have, we basically have 21 votes. So 50%, basically we need 11 votes for this motion to pass. Okay. Glenn, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, certainly. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Mark Rodenbach?
Yes.
Bilal? Bilal Berheim? Uta Deka?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Tani Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
No.
Norbert Klein?
No.
Carlos Souza?
No.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
Jordi Iparaguirre?
No.
Chuck Gomes?
Hi.
No, and let me tell you, Glenn, that Bilal disconnected.
Oh, thank you very much. Edmund Chun?
No.
Avri Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
No.
Yeah, I counted as having received 8 votes, is that correct?
I get 10 no. Eight yes.
Okay, so the motion has not carried. So basically, we will need to follow the other procedure, which calls for going out for constituency statements on the issues report. We may need to give this some thought as to how to proceed with this, having failed to do a task force and I'd actually like to table that until the next meeting. But the first step in the regular process is for each of the constituencies to appoint someone who will be responsible for collecting constituency statements. But I'd like to just have some general discussion on the list and elsewhere on how best to do the informal process, whether we want to request a research, whether we want to put together some kind of drafting team to request the advanced research that was included as a default, whether, you know, we want to relook at Chuck's motion and see whether there's some way to include that request within the context of the PDP. But I'd like to table those until we've had time to think through this for the next few weeks, if that's okay with you.
Aubrey, Liz?
Yes.
Just to note that, you know, in the bylaws, it does have a procedure with a timeline if no task force is formed, as you say, including the gathering of constituency statements and the amassing of an initial report then by the staff manager. So just a suggestion that if you do table it, we may want to start the clock then for those activities at an appropriate time thereafter, because otherwise we would be soliciting those constituency statements and compiling the report, you know, within the prescribed deadline after initiation of the PDP.
All right, Mike.
Mike, yes, please, Mike.
Reviewing Chuck's motion, and I mean, with one hopefully friendly amendment to delete the last part of it, the last line, I don't see why we couldn't vote on that motion, or at least, I don't know if we know if we need to vote, if we could all agree that we just move forward with the schedule and the suggestion of a drafting team that Chuck has made.
Okay, that's an interesting notion. Chuck, would you accept having your alternate notion, the friendly amendment to it, so
sure,
that we could use that as a first step? Now, should we add, do we need to add anything? And Liz, I ask this of you. Do we need to add, or Dan, something to this to be intentional that basically, as opposed to decide whether or not to initiate the PDP, it would be the council will postpone going to constituencies and public comment until the receipt of this report? Would that be the correct change to make?
I think it would be good to get the clarification from the council of what you intended, about also about the public comment period from Section 6.
Right. So the basic council...
Avery, put it here. I mean, the voice, I thought I heard both from Chuck and Tim that the reason they voted against the task force was that they were in favor of an even more collaborative approach,
yeah,
and their vision was working group, which is the new vision we're all working towards at the moment. If that's the case, why don't we have a one-line motion setting up a working group today? I can't see anybody who voted for a task force would now be against having a working group.
That was one of the reasons I wanted the table thing, because to put together a working group, we need to put together the beginning of a charter, which I think is already kind of here, but it just takes a little bit more talking,
yeah,
and crafting and such to have such a motion.
Okay, but I mean, let's talk about a few days rather than any longer, huh?
And if I could jump in, Aubrey, the working group actually could take the motion that I had on the table, and that as a kickoff point.
Okay, so we could do a one-line motion that, you know, the council will initiate a working group, and that working group, you know, because we need a charter for it, we need dates, we need to determine when we go out for public comment and constituency report, and we just need to make those decisions.
How about if we place in Chuck's motion the first resolve for it, we don't need a list of questions, but we need a working group formed with a charter by May 22nd.
Okay, so we need to form a working group with a charter no later than 22 May 2008. Now, we don't have another meeting until...
29th of May.
29th of May. This 22 May date was so that we'd be a week before the meeting. So the council proposed, the council formed a working group with a charter. This is crafting homework. Okay.
Is it really practical to say that the council will take action in 2 weeks before the next meeting? I'm not sure how we do that.
Okay. Oh, it's just basically the council. Okay, this would be a motion as whereas the motion to initiate a task force failed, resolved, the council will create a working group to deliberate? No. Create a working group to
fulfill the PDP.
The requirements of the PDP?
Yeah, full stop.
Of the PDP. A charter for that working group will be presented to the council by 22 May 2008 for approval. That's the 29th May 2008 meeting. The schedules for the constituency reports and the public comment will be included in that charter. How's that work? Let me read it again. Whereas the motion to initiate a task force failed, resolved, the council will create a working group to fulfill the requirements of the PDP. A charter for that working group will be presented to the council by 22 May 2008 for approval at the 29 May 2008 meeting. The schedule for the constituency reports and public comment will be included in that charter. Does that fulfill the requirements? Dan, is that okay in terms of dealing with the issue of the date, Dan or Liz?
It seems right to me. I don't know if Dan has anything further.
Okay.
Mind reading it one more time, please?
Okay, sure. And
I'm not seeing it on the workspace.
Right. No, I'll put it there in a second. Four. Okay. I just saved it. Sorry, we're running long on this item, but anyway, I just saved it and it's under the item, but it's under Chuck's, and I haven't gone through cleaning up from motion 1, 2, 3. Chuck's was motion 3, although it doesn't say it, and then there's a motion 4. Whereas the motion to initiate a task force failed, resolved, the council will create a working group to fulfill the requirement of the PDP. A charter for that working group will be presented to the council by 22 May 2008 for approval at the 29 May 2008 meeting. The schedule for the constituency reports and public comment will be included in that charter.
Is it implied who's going to create this and present it?
I'm basically going to work on a charter, and I will ask people to help me with that, and I'll put an open call out to the council members, anyone that wants to help me create that charter to get involved. And then I'll present that, and then we can talk about it from there. But I'll try to work it out with all the various groups. Is that okay as a motion?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so I guess I've moved it and Chuck has seconded it. Any discussion on that before I ask for a vote?
I do a voice
vote. Is there any objection to a voice vote? No objection. All those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed to this motion, please say nay. And any abstentions from this motion? Okay, thank you. So Chuck and I are on the hook for a charter, and anyone else that would like to work on helping to craft this, please get in touch with me. Liz, I will volunteer your efforts too, please.
Yes.
And as I say, other staff members, Olaf and whomever, if you'd like to help with crafting this, please get in touch. And we'll work out a time to do something. I'll probably work on it on the screen so everyone can see it. Okay, item 8, and we are running rather late. The inter-register transfer policy review next step. Chuck put together a motion. I could read the motion. Chuck could, I'll read it. Motion from Chuck, it has not been seconded yet. Whereas the inter-register transfer policy is an existing consensus policy under review by the GNSO, and this was the one with a denial definition. An IRTP working group examined possible areas for improving the existing policy and delivering its outcome in August 2007 in a report posted at, gives the address, and this report provided a list of potential issues to address for improvement of the transfer policy. In September 2007, a working group was tasked by the GNSO Council to assign priorities to remaining issues in the report, those not addressed in the PDP underway regarding four reasons for denial of a registrar transfer, resulting in the prioritized issue contained in that report, that group's report. In its meeting of 17 January 2008, the GNSO Council requested a small group of volunteers arrange the prioritized issue into suggested PDPs. The small group delivered its recommendation PDPs on 19 March 2008 in its report, and then gives the address. Resolved that five PDPs be initiated one at a time in the order suggested by the small group and shown here. And then it basically lists A, B, C, D, and E. So it's five different PDPs. The first one, new IRTP issues, and that was questions 1, 3, and 12. B, undoing registrar transfers 2, 7, and 9. C, IRTP operational rule enhancements, issues 5, 6, 15 and 18, but the first part only, the IRTP dispute policy enhancements 4, 8, 16, and 19, and E, penalties for IRTP violations, the first part of issue only. Resolve that recommendations of the small group be approved to not initiate PDP at this time for issues 11, 13, 14, the second part of 15 and 17. Now, that's a motion. It doesn't have a seconder. I don't know if we're ready to vote on that today, but that is the motion on the table. And while it doesn't explicitly say so here, my understanding is that this motion would kick off, and I guess I need clarification, Chuck, that this motion would kick off A. Kicking off, and that would be a request for an issues report for the new IRTP issues.
I would agree with that.
Although it doesn't explicitly say that, but that would be the implication that resolving five PDPs, but only initiating one of them.
Correct.
And so I open the floor to discussion on this, and also I'm looking to see whether this is something we believe we're ready to vote on today or whether this is something that will need further discussion, deliberation, and constituency clarifications, whatever. Q?
Chuck.
I'll second it, by the way.
Okay, so it's seconded by Tim. Okay, Chuck? Anyone else want to be in the queue at
Alan.
The time?
Huh? Mike. Alan.
Alan and Mike. Anyone else? Let me go ahead, Chuck.
My concern about delaying further is this thing's been delayed years up to point, and all of this information has been out and available for everyone for quite a while. So, you know, I'm not going to fight delay, but I think that we've delayed this so much already that it's bad.
Okay, thank you. Alan.
Is the implication that by saying we do it one at a time that we do not start B until we have a final vote on whether to have a consensus policy or not on A?
My own personal feeling on that, Alan, is that we could decide whatever we want. We could even decide if we had enough resources to do some of them in parallel. But for right now, based on the spread of people's time, just seemed like the realistic way to start it out. That doesn't mean we couldn't change our approach or even deal with things like you're talking about as we go.
Yes, I support that, because otherwise the point you made is even truer, that we're talking another 4 years until we get to E.
Well, that was a concern of the small group, too. That's why we actually, in our recommendation, suggested that we see if there are enough resources to do some of these things in parallel. I came to the conclusion that I probably know the answer to that without spending a lot of time doing any research.
Not doing it in parallel doesn't mean we don't overlap.
Right. It doesn't say initiate sequentially. It just says one at a time. Before I go to Mike, I wanted to ask, for clarification purposes, whether you'd accept a friendly amendment that adds a second resolved. Where did I put that? Okay. I'll go back. I'll come back after Mike. Mike?
It would be a third. I'm just concerned, like you are, Chuck, and like Alan as well, that this has been going on for a long time, and five PDPs are going to take forever. I'm not convinced, and Chuck, I'd just like to hear more of your thinking as to why these can't all be considered in one PDP.
Well, Mike, it's a huge undertaking. These are not all. In fact, I don't know if any of these would really be considered easy issues. They're going to take some work. Now, fortunately, I don't think they're terribly controversial, but they're each going to take some time. And one of our objectives in the recent past has been to try and design PDPs so they can be accomplished in a fairly reasonable time frame, whatever that is. And so by breaking it up into pieces, also when you lump them all together, you're asking for volunteers on a PDP that is going to go on for a long time. By breaking it down, you can spread the workload out a little bit among different people. Also, we're all going to be very dependent on registrar participation in each one of these things. And because they are closest to the issues in each case, and we need their help, so it would be a huge demand on registrars to provide people, for a very long period of time to accomplish all of these. This way, they could rotate it somewhat. Now, on a separate issue, if any of you look at the latest compliance report from ICANN staff, you'll see that the number one complaint issue reported to ICANN was registrar transfers. So whereas some of us may not be personally impacted on this, it is the number one issue in terms of complaints.
I agree, it's a very big issue. Doing the report, it seems to me obviously all of the issues are interrelated. And it seems to me that it would be best to have continuity of the people that are developing policy on these issues. And I agree with you that very few of the, except maybe E, are going to be very controversial. Granted, they'll take some time to sort through, but I do feel like if you have the same team sorting through them all, it's going to be done more efficiently and effectively.
Well, there's nothing, Mike, to prevent the same people continuing on each one. This just allows some flexibility otherwise if it's needed.
I'd just like to see maybe a planned schedule to make sure that these things just don't drag on for 4 years.
Well, I don't think that the council is going to be able to do that schedule, because I would predict that there's probably a handful of people on the council that really have a good enough understanding of each of the 14 and a half issues that are included here to be able to do that. I think that's something we could ask of the group that's formed to start working on A, to come up with that. To be able to do it for all 14 and a half issues in a time frame is a pretty daunting challenge.
Also, I'd like to jump in. Among the things also, we'd be asking the staff for 5 issues reports, and I think asking them for 1 issues report at the very least at a time. And the council, if this is approved, could certainly come back and say, okay, A is kicked off, it seems to be running smoothly, let's kick off B. And nothing in this at the moment does that. And at this point, all it would ask for is an issues report. And coming back to my request of a friendly amendment, it's basically resolved that the council asks the staff to produce an issues report on the items listed under A, new IRTP issues. So that that's explicit in this. Is that something you'd accept as a friendly amendment, Chuck?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Avery, could you put me in the queue, please?
Sir Tony, anyone else?
Alan,
anyone else? Okay, Tony.
I was just going to ask whether maybe a friendly change to this would be to remove the words one at a time, because I think Chuck's point is to take these in order. And if we recognise that there needs to be some order here with the dates to be reviewed by council, then it probably covers that off. At the moment, if we pass this the way it's written, you could actually come back to the point that it does say it's only going to be done sequentially, and I don't think that was where Chuck was aiming to go.
And that plus the friendly amendment, if you already accepted, basically kicks off the first.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will amend that. So basically it becomes that the 5 PDPs be initiated in order, in the order suggested. And I've just saved that. Okay. Alan.
That addresses a large part of the problem. I would still feel more comfortable if there were some sort of time frame in it, or at least a time frame for council to periodically review. In other words, we have some obligation to make sure this keeps on moving at a reasonable rate.
And that was the other part of my comment as well, Avery, that second point.
Okay. Is there a suggested amendment to this? I mean,
I think that could be addressed once we initiate the PDPs, and obviously the task force has not been suggested.
Yeah, well, we haven't even gotten so far as to having the first issues report yet.
Oh, right.
But we could say with dates to be reviewed by council at each meeting, and I think that's overkill.
Or once every 3 months.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
I'd be happy with that.
Okay, so that would be... Council will review the progress of these PDPs every 90 days?
Maybe we could more frequently. I can tell you that the small group really wanted this to be done a lot faster, so there's no intent at all to drag this out. It just looking at the reality of resources available and the job at hand. So maybe we need to add to that, Avery, that with the intent of moving all 5 PDPs along as quickly as possible.
Suggest wording, please.
And by the way, I think 60-day review. I wouldn't say 90-day review.
Okay, every 60 days with the goal of moving the process along as quickly as possible. So that would be another resolve at the end. Resolve the council will review the progress of these PDPs every 60 days with the goal of moving the process along as quickly as possible.
And I would say no longer than every 60 days or something like that, so that, again, if one of these things can move more quickly, we're not...
Well, that's just a review of progress, though. I mean, obviously, if one of them is ready to bring something to a motion, then it gets in the slot.
Okay.
This is just a progress report every 60 days.
Given the time it takes to do the issues report, the time for public comments,
there's a limit to how fast we can move.
Well, but the,
no matter how quickly the actual work group doesn't
right.
work.
But the progress report might
yeah.
just be everything's going well, yeah. we're in comment, you know, this, and the council looks at it and says, yep, it's moving as quickly as possible. Good job, keep going.
No, I was commenting on Chuck's statement
okay.
that we wanted to move very fast. There is a limit, unfortunately, to how fast
okay.
we can move.
Now, I saved that again. So looking at the whole motion, and is it something I'd like to move to a vote on because it initiates an issues report? I believe it'll need to be roll called because there's a threshold for that we need to record. So what has changed is there are now three resolves. Resolved that the recommendation of the small group be approved to not initiate PDPs at this time for 11, 13, 15, and the second part of 15 and 17. I need to clear the part. Resolved that the council ask the staff to produce an issues report on the items listed under A, new IARTP issues. Resolved the council will preview the progress of these PDPs every 60 days with the goal of moving the process along as quickly as possible. And the first resolve was amended to resolve the five PDPs be initiated in the order suggested by the small group and shown here. Any further discussion before I call for a roll call vote on this? So the request for an issues report, which this essentially is, requires a, what's our threshold again on this? I believe that's a majority, but please correct me quickly if I'm wrong.
25 or
33. Only 25. Okay. So let's move ahead with this. Could you please call roll call?
Yes. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Mark Rodenbach?
Yes.
Hilal? I think he's dropped off. Ute Dekker?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Yes.
Norbert Klein?
Yes.
Carlos Souza? Carlos? Come back to him. Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Jordi Peragria?
Yes.
Edmund Chan?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
And Carlos Souza, can you hear me?
He's still showing like he's on.
Yes, he's still showing like he's on, so...
I'm back, Lana. I had to stay away for a little while, but yes.
Okay. So that is unanimously yes, and there are one.
Yes, thanks. While Glenn's carrying that, since we're so late on time.
20 votes.
20?
20 votes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, the next item was item 9. Now, when we were discussing the domain tasting last week, I basically indicated that if, because there had been some questions before about whether we wanted to make any further comments or motions on the pending budget measure for domain tasting, and that we would table that until this meeting. So there's the board resolution, which you know, came out of action from the council. And so I basically, as promised, put that item on the agenda for this week to see if we did have any further discussion on the pending budget measure. So I'd like to open the queue on that. We may decide that this is something that we want to table for another week if there's a lot of discussion that we need to have. But anyone want to speak on it now, or is everything fine leaving it as it is?
Alan. Chuck would like to get in the queue.
Okay, I've got Alan and I've got Chuck.
Mike.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Alan.
This is not a position of ALAC, and I suspect if I asked for one, it would be divided.
But I would like to say that if the board chooses to go ahead with the budget measure, that it be subject to the similar 10% constraint as the consent recommendation or consensus policy.
Okay.
The registry position on this was stated quite clearly that we did not want the fee applied in addition to the consensus policy that was recommended by the council. But we're currently discussing the issue if there's a threshold, does that change our position? And I think it probably will. But one thing at a minimum that would be very helpful to get from staff is whether they're pursuing the threshold idea, and if so, what does that mean? Like, is it a threshold per registrar, or is it an overall threshold per registry? Those are very different scenarios, and they have come up in our discussion. So at a minimum, I would hope that staff can provide some clarity in terms of what direction they're going there. I know that it can't be approved until the budget's approved, but I think registry support for applying the fee in addition to the consensus policy depends on clarity in terms of what direction they're pursuing.
Okay.
This is Tim.
Okay, I've got Mike. I've got Tim. And then hopefully someone from the staff can respond to the question.
That's also very clear that we think that the budget measure needs to be implemented in addition consensus policy that's been recommended by council. So I also share Chuck's desire to hear from staff where this issue is right now. I think I asked several weeks ago, actually, because there just hasn't been any real information about where this issue is.
Okay, thanks. I must say, Mike, you come in very faintly. In fact, yes. Somebody's breathing comes in louder than your voice does.
Uh-oh. Sorry about
Denise.
That. Is this better?
Sure.
Yeah, that's better. Okay.
This is Denise.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I've got Tim and then I've got Denise.
Oh, yeah, this is Tim. Just to state registrar's position is that, you know, we would prefer not to see both measures implemented, obviously, but if both are, then again, the threshold similar to that provided for in the UNSO recommendation would certainly seem appropriate, and, you know, it's not that registrars have to, you know, they don't technically approve the budget, they just approve how they pay, and to avoid, I think the best way to avoid any issues with that and protracting that whole thing out, that if that threshold is there, it would certainly make matters much easier when it comes to the payment approval process.
Are you on mute?
Yes. Just to respond to Mike's question, the status hasn't changed since the last time you asked for the status. The process is that the proposal was part of an initial budget that was posted for public discussion, and we will be following the timeline that we laid out for the council and the public. That is, the next iteration of the budget will be posted around May 15th, 16th, 17th, somewhere in there, and a public comment period will again proceed, and the final decision on the budget and all of its contents, including the proposal regarding fees, will be decided by the board at its meeting in Paris.
Can I follow up on that, Aubrey?
Yeah, please.
Denise, it'll be very important that in the May 15th posting, if not sooner to the council, that there's specificity with regard to what is being proposed with regard to the application of fee, in particular with regard to any threshold and how that threshold would be applied.
Certainly, and so the process internally is that a draft budget proposal will be provided to the Finance Committee they will consider it, make any changes they deem necessary, and then direct staff to post it for public comment. Council will be kept closely apprised of that process.
Thanks. And so that everybody understands where the registries are coming from, a 10% threshold applied to a registry has very different results than a 10% threshold applied to each registrar.
Can Avery, can I get in the queue, Alan?
Yes. Although shortly, I'll take a few more comments, but then I really want to table this one for a further discussion in motion. Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I just want to ask Chuck for a clarification. This fee is a registrar fee, which under certain circumstances the registry may have to pay. I don't understand how it could ever be applied at a registry level.
Well, it depends how it's worded, Alan.
Okay.
And if there's a 10% threshold on a registry, then there could be particular registrars that could actually exceed their individual threshold, but because the overall TLD doesn't exceed that, they would be okay.
No, I understand that, but it is a registrar-oriented fee to begin with, so I just have a little bit of trouble figuring how they could word it that way.
Keep in mind that registries are the ones who report the data to ICANN so that they can apply the fee.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to suggest now that we table this for the next meeting and possible introduction of motions or whatever. Is there any objection to doing that? Okay, thank you. Next item is item 10, single character, second level domain names. Patrick was going to give us an update.
I can give the council an update, but because we're already 5 minutes over time, I don't know if there's enough time to cover this.
Okay. Does anyone object to this being tabled for next meeting?
How long is it? Could you just give a couple minutes update, Patrick, please?
Okay, Patrick, please.
Okay. Brief recap. There's work that's been ongoing on two areas, ICANN IANA names and single character names. Just so Mike is aware, the ICANN IANA names are being addressed as part of the work on the new TLD base agreement schedule of reserve names. That should be coming out in the near future. Can't give you much more information than that. On character names, ICANN concluded the comment period and then developed a summary of the comments and then the synthesis document that was completed in February. At this stage, that document is available for comment by the council, but we're not looking for any further action by the council. Staff has determined that additional expertise is needed on auctions generally, not just for single character names, but in a number of other areas, including strength and tension for new GTLDs. So ICANN conducted a process to identify an auction design expert who can assist ICANN in this area. We're trying to finalize a contract with an auction design consultant, and once that contract is finalized, we'll be able to make an announcement and provide some more information back to the council. But at this stage, there's not anything further that we're looking for the council to do. There is work that's ongoing, and I can report back in greater detail at the next council call when there's more time.
Right. I suggest that we do that, and I suggest that I front-load this in the agenda as opposed to putting it at the end, put it towards the beginning.
That would be good.
As long as everyone could be at the meeting at the right time. Okay. Any objection to moving on? Okay, thanks. 11 should be quick. It's a status update on the Who Is proposals and groups.
Okay, so this is Liz, and a small study group has been meeting weekly since the first week in April. We're tasked with developing a recommendation to the council on what, if any, studies should be conducted on Who Is. We are in receipt also of the GAC recommendations, and we've been comparing and mapping those recommendations to the other suggestions. Essentially, the upshot is that there is a substantial number of participants in the group that do not think studies should be done at this time, that further studies would not change anyone's mind or inform the debate further.
There's also a substantial number of participants in the team that do think studies are worth, doing, and they are coming together to try to reach agreement on a specific priority order among those studies. But I expect to have a report from the group. Hopefully, you know, our target date at this point is by the 22nd of May, but that report will reflect this plurality of views where there is at least a substantial number that do not think further studies should be done at all. And then there will be, you know, that with that significant caveat, a recommendation from some of the members to conduct certain specific studies.
Okay, and just so people know before moving on to the next one, I don't want to open it up for discussion. Today, it'll be on the agenda for next week, after the next meeting, to basically have the report, you know, presented. And I am including this as one of the discussion items for the face-to-face meeting in Paris, and tentatively for a decision at the Wednesday meeting on which, if any, studies to take the next step on, then assuming that we have motions in place. Moving on quickly on the GNSO improvements, I'll give a quick status. Basically, our goal was to have had our report ready a week ago. We have some issues that are still under discussion among the members of the planning team, trying to basically get all the constituencies that are participating to have a single planning document that we're all comfortable with. So between scheduling difficulties and some of these issues, basically we'll be ready for the next meeting. We have another meeting scheduled for, I guess, week after next on Monday, when I'm hoping that we can resolve the rest of the issues on the table and come to a decision on our proposed planning process, at which point we'll present it to the council. Given the time, I'll just leave it at that, and but please feel free to bring up issues and discussions on the list if there's any questions. Now we have the next item was sort of important and timely, but I don't know how much time we want to give to discussing it now. I think it's important, and that's an update from Edmund on what's happening in IDNC and what's happening with our efforts to respond to the latest version of the paper on fast track. Edmund, you still there?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'll just give a quick update and then just open however long you want to discuss it. There were two meetings that convened, teleconference meetings of the IDNC in April 22nd, 29th. The main issues I think that are being discussed right now is as Ali said, the paper, which is called the draft methodology, that brings me to a little bit of a confusion of the process that was put in place. We're supposed to have what is called an interim report. That never sort of came to being, and now we have a draft methodology document. And also, we're not, I've been talking to some of the group members, and nobody seems to feel very sure whether the timeline has shifted or not, and what the actual process going forward is going to be, because it's not really what was charted anymore. But the main issues that are being discussed are there's a discussion about the language and language of evaluation committee and then the technical evaluation committee and what the scope of these committees would be in terms of determining the whether a TLD string and a CCTLD manager is appropriate. And then the second one outstanding issue that's being discussed a lot is the non-contentious issue. The current document makes a new, creates a new scope where it says non-contentious within the territory. But it seems like it's not really, there's some disagreement on whether it's non-contentious should be just within that particular territory or generally, as suggested, I guess, by the charter. The third area that is being discussed quite a bit is the objection mechanism, which is related to the non-contentious issue. And I think the best way to characterize it is the main issue of whether it's being built in and therefore with built into the whole fast-track mechanism, or whether the fast-track mechanism would rely on the board ultimately having to make a decision and then going through and then making a decision whether or not a public comment period or some sort of an objection needs to be handled. So those are really the three issues I think are the main discussions right now. There will be a next meeting next Monday on May 12th.
That's a meeting in Geneva. So there'll be both people face to face and people in basically, now I had this as other than going through our action item list, which I invite people to do separately and discuss any issues on the list. There was no any other business. I don't believe we're going to make any decisions on this at this meeting, so anyone that needs to drift off, I'm able to stay online longer if people want to discuss this further, but let people know that, you know, there are not going to be any decisions made, so if they have to drift off, that's, you know, okay, and if that's okay with everyone, I'd like to proceed on that basis and have a little discussion on this if people want to. Hearing no objection, is there anyone that would like to speak in a queue on these issues?
Edmund, okay. Add quickly. I just realized that the it seems the list that was previously for the discussion is actually not working anymore, or for some reason I was unable to send to it. Glenn,
I'll look into that, Edmund.
Oh, okay.
I got your message. Right. Thank you.
So, yeah, so anybody that was on that team before is probably going to be assumed to still be on it, and anyone else that wants to join it is certainly welcome to do so. Does anyone else want to ask any comments or comment on this, or should we just move on for now? I guess if there are no questions or comments, we can move on. As I say, I've been posting the new action items. At the end of the action items, one thing I'd like to ask people to look at and just to know is I've continued the practice of talking about what items may show up on the list, and have covered also the face-to-face meetings, and started to work towards what would be on the agenda at our meeting, at our public meeting. One of the things that will be on the agenda for next meeting is just to make sure that we've got that agenda set so that you know, can be out in plenty of time. Does anybody who's taken a look at the action items have any questions or issues with anything that's on it that we can cover now? Nope. Okay. I don't assume there's any other business. Is there any? Not hearing anybody. Anything? I thank you all for being here for the 2 hours and 20 minutes and for participation and all.
Thanks,
Aubrey.
Nice
to talk to you again in 3 weeks and talk to a lot of you in between.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.